This is
Just Once.
Just Once.
Just Once.
On Radio.
On Radio Kerry.
Hi, my name is Zara, and just once, I wish I could go back to February 24th, 2015. Like, I'm always getting given out to by my mom and my brother, like, oh, you're so sarcastic, or you're just like your dad. We kind of had the same sense of humour, so, like, his sarcasm, my sarcasm, we just bounced off each other and we got it straight away. He was very funny. When it was a good time for him, he'd dance around the kitchen and he'd sing and he'd just be really, like, goofy and just fun. Just once, I wish I could go back to see you one last time, to hear your voice and to hug you tighter for longer. If I could go back to that day, I would tell you that things will get better, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and everyone is waiting for you, knowing you'll get there. I would tell you how much I loved you 1,000 times over. I would make you smile, make you feel worthwhile, and never leave the house that day. If I could go back to that day, just once, I would change everything. Maybe I could have stopped you, but maybe this is what was supposed to happen. Maybe we do all have a path in life, and this was just part of your path. A long, bumpy road filled with both happy and sad times, coming to a halt faster than we ever could have envisioned. Faster than the raindrops that fell that day, faster than my heart can beat, and faster than we could ever come to terms with the tragedy that was unfolding before our eyes. Just once, I wish I could have changed the outcome of that day. Just once, I wish that February 24th, 2015 was just another day. Another day where I woke up, went to college and returned home to see your face or to hear your voice. Just once, I wish that no longer would February 24th bring so much sadness, fear and heartache. Just once, I wish that that date could have been like any other. If I could go back to that day just once, I never would have returned home. For when I returned, my life was changed forever. Life as I knew it would never be the same, and I became part of another family. A large community of people affected by the same thing, suicide. Only those accepted into this family could understand. They know how you felt, how you will feel, and how different your life would be forevermore. They know the devastation left behind after a decision was made by a loved one. As a community of people, all connected by that one word. A word which could haunt each and every person for the rest of their lives. But a community that could provide sympathy, empathy, and support. A community bound together, bound by sadness, but held together by the prospect of positivity. Held together by the sheer devastation and shock, but more positively, the support, camaraderie, and solidarity. With a vision to help others, create a legacy for their loved ones, and standing together through the tough times ahead. Just once, I wish I could go back to February 24th, 2015. And just once, I wish I could say, Dad, don't do it.
This is
Just Once.
Just Once.
Just Once.
On Radio.
On Radio Kerry.
My name is Martin Mahan. Just once, I'd like to stand alone in a community that's already alone. The realistic dream, and the one that would make me happiest, is the day when you wake up in Ireland and there's no racism. Not just against travellers, but against coloured people and people who are not from this country who are settled here. Like, my uncle wanted to play on a soccer team before, but they wouldn't grant him permission because of who he was. But I've seen cases when it's just a boy just walking in to buy something and being put out. Now, they might not be doing anything there. So, I mean, things like that. And I've seen young travellers being turned away from nightclubs and being turned away from opportunities like soccer teams. My grandfather was turned away from a pub countless times because they knew he was a traveller. He would walk in and the barman would say, no, we're not serving you. And he knew exactly why. So he just kept his pride and walked away. Now, he could have acted exactly how they wanted him to, but no, he walked away. So that's how I was raised. To me, that kind of motivates me more. It also makes me angry. Now, you can carry out your anger in a way you can retaliate, which is what they want. So you can be everything that they expect you to be. or you can keep it inside and you can walk away and be the bigger person and build up your anger so you can express it in a better way, in a way to bring it down, but in a right way. You go away and you store it up and you talk to higher people, and then you can change what's been done to you that way. Countless times I've been told to my face, you're not getting in here or you're not doing this because you're a traveler. I was in Cork City a couple of weeks ago and I approached a nightclub with my ID and everything. And I don't drink, I don't touch alcohol myself. And I showed him my passport and he said, no, you're not getting in. You have too much alcohol in you. And I said, but sir, I don't drink at all. And I said, if I get the Garda breathalyzer to prove it, would you still let me in? No. And I said, well, he goes, because I know you're a traveler. I heard you on the radio. I could have reacted crazily and started screaming and swearing, but that would give them what they want. That would give them the satisfaction. So I said, thank you for your time. And I walked away. I mean, that's just one of countless cases. Like, some people would be down and out about it and go home and just take the fun out of it. Or it could motivate you more. It could motivate you, yes, this is exactly what I want to stop. Well, a lot of the time you're judged for who you are. You're judged if you are like a particular group. If you are a traveler, you're judged for that. They don't look past the brand that they've given you. You are what they think you are, no matter what you do. No matter, you can try and make a difference, you can try and be different, you can try and make an honest day's living and change the current stereotype, but you're always going to be what they branded you. So you just need to accept it and live with it and know that not everybody is like that. Because some people will look on you for who you are as a person, your heart and how you appear and how you present yourself. But also there's some people who will just judge you, oh, the traveler. He will never do good. They will never do good because of other people's mistakes have kind of condemned us to having a bad brand. Now, there is some bad out there, I will not sit here and lie, but that's not all of us. There is some who just want to make an honest living. If you're misunderstood, hang with the people and be around people who understand you. And if you feel alone, you're not alone, because you have your family, you have your friends, but also don't let the people who don't understand you take it away from what makes you different to everyone else. Never let anyone change you. Only change when you feel you want to, not when you think you have to be accepted. Otherwise, you're just putting yourself down and you'll never be you.
This is
Just Once.
Just Once.
Just Once.
On Radio.
On Radio Kerry.
My name is Mihail Danes and just once, I'd like to go back to when I was 6 years old, sitting on the school wall, waiting for my grandfather to pass by. He had a grandfather belly on him, but three times the size of a grandfather belly, maybe. He was a towering person, and whenever he did speak, he did have a very powerful, almost, his voice was very groggy. He was just a normal farmer. Well, I would generally speaking sit on the wall when I was in school. I'd say the wall was about 8 or 9 feet tall. It was easy to climb because on the inside of the schoolyard there was a couple of steps near the wall, so we'd climb it. And if you were to stand on top of the wall, you'd see a vast playground of kids ranging from all kinds of ages. It was primary school. I used to sit there every lunchtime because before I started there, my grandfather said to me, keep an eye out for me every time I come by. Because what he used to do with the horse and cart, he would deliver sand to people in Romania. It was a way to make a living. And every lunch, when the weather was good, and most of the time the weather is good in Romania, I'd sit there and, you know, I'd wait for him. Sometimes my friends would join me, a couple of them, I'd talk with him. And you could hear from around the corner the clapping of the horse and of his feet, of the hooves. And I always tried to guess, is it our horse? And sometimes I get it wrong, sometimes I get it right. But whenever he'd show up, he'd stop. And one of two things would happen. He'd either give me money to spend after school. It wouldn't be much. The remaining currency is lei. So one lei is like 20 cents. So he'd give me maybe two of those, you know, 40 cents. But with 40 cents, I could buy a packet of sweets. I could buy kind of something like Cheetos, something like that, you know. But some other days, he'd say to me, come on, jump down. Because he'd see I wouldn't be interested in school. And I didn't really have an interest in school growing up. So he'd give me that and he'd say, come on, jump on. And what I'd do is we'd go up home to the grandmother. She'd be like, why aren't you in school? And he goes to me, no, he's coming with me. And what we do then, I'd help him load up the cart with sand. And I was a 6-year-old child, loading up 400 kilos of sand. I could do it. And he was very, very proud of that I could do it. And then we'd go all over the town. And it felt like a sense of doing something. That's one thing school never gave me personally. I never felt like I was doing something in school. And, you know, just once, I would like to go back to sit on that wall and wait to hear the horse who's around the corner, guess if it's him, and hopefully it is him, and I could go with him for another day. Just once.
This is
Just Once.
Just Once.
Just Once.
On Radio.
On Radio Kerry.
My name is Michael O'Connor, and just once I would like to travel. I was born in the North London Middlesex Hospital on the Whit Monday in 1949, and I came to Killarney first in 1953. My parents were separated in London sometime in the 50s, and I came to Killarney to live with my grandmother first of all in Headford. And I stayed with my grandmother for a while, and my aunt and uncle, Lady Kelly and Hannah Crowley, had no children, and I came in to stay with them, and I stayed until I did my Leaving Cert in 1968. And I went to London in 1968, and I came home in 1972. Well, the reason I'm not travelling is I feel out of my comfort zone. I don't like travelling in the car. I use taxis a lot. I have a full licence, but I haven't driven since 1985. I was hit from behind and I lost my confidence and I haven't driven since. The last time I was in Dublin was 1972, Kerry Knopfley and Kerry Knopfley replay. The last time I left Kerry was for my mother's funeral in 1994. The last time before that then was, I suppose, the mid-80s. But I love living in Killarney. Killarney is my hometown. I avoid travelling. I go to Tralee by bus sometimes to see anybody that's in hospital. I wouldn't like a bus. I've gone to Limerick a good few times by bus, didn't like it. A day out in Cork would be nice, but I don't want to go. If I'm out of my comfort zone in a strange place and not being able to find my way back, I could get a massive panic attack and just freeze. And I wouldn't like that to happen going up the steps of an aircraft or get a panic attack on a plane. I'd like to go to the Holy Land. I'd like to go to Rome. I'd like to see France. But I'd like to know my own country better. Just once I would like to travel Ireland, every county in Ireland. But I love living in Killarney. I always love living in Killarney. I love the history of Killarney, the history of Kerry, the stories, the folklore. I never get tired of Kerry. I think Kerry is the kingdom and I'm so happy to be living here.
This is
Just Once.
Just Once.
Just Once.
On Radio.
On Radio Kerry.
My name is Dennis and I'm just doing something for Just Once. Yeah, I met my wife Kay at a dance in Abidorny way back in 1954. I was 20, she was 18. We danced a bit and then we went out together for quite a while and we went to a lot of dances and we went to the pictures many nights in Tralee. We saw some of those great old movies. And we got married in 59. It's a very simple ceremony, but though we were, I suppose, exalted a little bit in the fact that we were married by a bishop who happened to be home on holidays from South America, and he was a distant relation of my wife's. We honeymooned around Ireland and had a lovely time visiting the different seashores because we loved the sea, both of us. I can't say that I have any regrets. course I would love to run with the hare and hunt with the hound. I'd love to be here and I'd love to be there. But of course that's only a dream. And I'm reasonably comfortable now. I've two daughters very close here to me in the town of Tralee, and I'm very happy about that, and we have a great relationship. It's a long road. I've travelled a long road. I suppose if there's one thing that really, you know, caused my life to take a terrible turn was when my wife died. I was 57 years of age, and we were more or less being set free, family reared, and we were ready to go again and kick up our heels and see a bit of the world, and bang, came to a sudden stop. I suppose if there was one lovely thing that could happen, that would be if I could just go back to that and cause it to continue, which of course I can't or couldn't. That's outside of my control. But it would be a beautiful wish of mine. And it's probably wishful thinking, isn't it? Moon's off. So many once-offs. If we meet again, well, I'd sure say I've missed you. Why did you leave so soon? I thought we were very happy, and but you had to go, I suppose. It wasn't your decision. But I'd put it like that. Why did you have to go? I would have to tell her, of course, how much I loved her, how much I missed her. Life has never been the same. I love that song by, his name was Harris, I think. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing fine. Perhaps I'm not the only one in that pretending. But that's not my story.